Praise the Lord. Amen. You know, we've been talking about, ever since Winter Bible Seminar, I guess, we've talked about a new season, new things happening. And then around here at the ministry, things have been changed. We've been changing some things up. And some longtime staff people and people have been here for a long time have gone. And you know, so when you start doing that, you have to start looking at some things. You know, hey, what's going on? New season. Okay, well, all right. So we're going to a new season. What's that mean? Going to another level. Going where we've never been before. All auditorium all new. And some people want to say, well, what's the big deal about all that? Well, in this new season, God wants to do bigger things in our church and in our lives personally. God wants to show us things that we haven't seen before. He wants to rise us to a level that we've never been at before. You know, but each one of you should take personally, because that's what we've been talking about it, and it's a new season for you personally to move up with God, get to a new level of faith, a new commitment to the Word, a new attitude concerning the things of God. You know, in Luke 18:27, which is my verse of scripture that anytime anybody asks me to write my name, you know, on a book or something, I always write the 18:27, Luke. He replied, "What's impossible for people is possible with God." How many of you believe that what we can't do, God can? Okay. Now let me ask you a question. How big do you think God is? Or another way to say it, how big is your God? Not just corporately, your God. Is he big enough to do the impossible? I'm talking about how you think about God. How your attitudes are concerning how big God is. You know, we sing a song around here sometimes. It goes, "There's no God big as mine. Too big a problem you just can't find. It makes no difference what the devil tries. There's no God as big as mine." And I see some of the old singers in band, they're smiling because that was sung quite a bit. In fact, as I text several ministers, and one of them is Brandon Thompson, one of my sons in the ministry, and he played drums for the singers in the band, and I included that in my text to them today, and he wrote back and said, "I know that song well." But hey, there's no God big as mine. We sing that around here, but are you just singing words, or is that really something that you really, really believe? You know, and then let me ask you another question. If that's something you really believe and that's how big your God is, then are you really living and acting on that level? Are you really living and acting on that level? You know, we face all kinds of crises as we go through live down here on this earth. We have crises in our homes and health problems and work problems and relation conflicts and financial problems, and the list goes on. But I think you get what I'm talking about. Is your God bigger than all your problems? Or does it seem like your problems are bigger than God? You know, sometimes people get it this way. Big problem, small God. Big God, small problem. Come on, see? If you're looking at it from the natural, it's a big problem. But if you're looking at it from the God standpoint, it's a small problem. I realize that it's big, but with God, it's not big. Because there's nothing. There's no problem, it said. We said the song. There's no problem you can find. No matter what the devil tries, there's no God big as mine. You know, now, sometimes when we're following God and he's talking to us and we're believing him, you know, it may seem that, man, I don't understand how this is going. This is impossible. But hey, you got to go back to who your God is. Nothing impossible. It's impossible to you, but it's possible to God because the Bible said so. You know, sometimes God begins to speak to people about doing things and you say, man, that's sort of risky. Well, if you got a big God and he's telling you to do it, then it's not risky. Just make sure he's telling you to do it and it's not something that you've conceived in your own head. You know, I'm talking about the fact of what do we think about our God? Now, you know, I've lived with this for the last, well, all of my life really, but really for the last 46 years, I guess. That's when we started Rhema, 46 years ago, was it? I was 35 years old. And Dad said in a meeting, we're going to start Rhema. And then he looked at me and said, you do it. And actually, when actually he said that, I couldn't understand why I left the position I left. I was going to take that church over. It had grown. Lynette and I was associate pastors there, and with her dad and underneath our leadership, it had grown about 300 people. And I couldn't understand it. And then I left. I came, and it seemed like a backward step. You see, but that's where you got to depend on your God. He said, do it. Okay, this looks like I shouldn't be doing this, but this is what he said do, so here we go. And you know, people said, well, nobody's ever had a Bible school like that. Well, you know, if you start listening to people, I had to depend on my big God. I said, well, I don't know whether anybody's asked everybody or not, but we're going to do it because God said do it and he's big enough to do it. I mean, this whole thing, this whole campus, the whole thing, but man, especially this building right here that we're sitting in. When it was finished in 92 and we walked into it, it was state of the art. There was nothing like it anywhere in the United States at all. Nothing. I mean, we were written up in every audio magazine, lighting magazine, building magazine, everything. We were on the cover of one of the architectural magazines. I got a copy over somewhere. And you know, hey, they said, man, that's an impossible project. That's when I had to start to realize how big my God is. See, you got to realize how big your God is. And you start facing all kinds of things. We got to get a hold of the truth that God is bigger than anything. Now let's go to Mark 11, and you know all these scriptures, but I'm going to use them a little differently today. The next morning as they, Mark 11:12, next morning as they went out leaving Bethany, Jesus was hungry, he knows the fig tree is full of leaves, they a little ways off, so he went to see if he could find any figs. But there were only leaves because it was too early in the season for the fruit. But because of what the tree was saying, it's supposed to have some fruit, according to what I've read. Then Jesus said to the three, may no one eat fruit of you again. And the disciples heard him say it. Now skip down to verse 20. Now, they'd come back by that tree, nothing happened. But the next day, they came by that tree, going back into the city of Jerusalem. And the disciples noticed that the tree had dried up from the roots. And Peter, remembering it, he said, look, Rabbi, the fig tree you cursed has dried up. And then Jesus said to his disciples, have faith in God, or have the God kind of faith. And then he went on to say, I tell you the truth, this mountain may be lifted up and thrown into the sea, but it will happen, and you must really believe it will happen and have no doubt in your heart. Now, here, Jesus takes the disciples to a new level. God is big enough to do the impossible, he was telling them. Now, verses 12 through 14, the disciples saw that, and they saw this tree, Jesus speak to it, it withered and died. In 20 through 23, he shared with them new truths that disciples had never heard before. In these verses, Jesus used objects in relation to teaching them about faith. A tree, a mountain, and the sea. Now, that's about the biggest objects that he had around him at that time. So he used them, you see, to help the disciples understand that there's nothing impossible with God. He's bigger than anything. This mountain referred to, they were on the edge, they were walking across the edge of the Mount of Olives, if you ever know that trail that goes there. And the sea he was talking about was the Dead Sea, according to study notes. And so he said, this mountain, and he pointed at the mountain they were standing on, can be cast into the sea. And he probably pointed, when he said that, he probably pointed toward the Dead Sea, which was about 12, 15 miles away, I guess. And he was trying to help these disciples to understand that with faith in a big God, you get big results. He was trying to get them to get a glimpse of how big God was. Now, let me say this. Our faith is always in proportion to the size, to the concept of our size of what we think God is. God is bigger, 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 larger, 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 more powerful, stronger, stronger than anybody can think or anybody will ever see. 1 John 4:4, we know it, we say it all the time. Greater is he that is in you. And I like to say it this way, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. You know, there's some scripture that you need to just personalize. See, we need to get a hold of the concept and get our concept of how big God really is. One way to do this is go back and look at Genesis 1, 3 through 26 gives us the creation account of how God created the earth and everything that's in it, and everything, he created it by saying it. And see, that's what Jesus was trying to teach these disciples with this fig tree when he said, and then he said to the tree, then he turned around and said, have the God kind of faith, or the kind of faith that God has, the real treasure. And then he says, say it. Say to the mountain, be the cast in. Now go back there, and you see that in Genesis he said it and it was. He said and it was. He said and it was. He said and it was. Right? See, he's trying to get their concept of what God is and how big he is. God is so big, when he says it, it happens. And now he's turning around and he's telling you that if you believe he is that big, that then you can say and receive. Hello? See, you know, Abraham, he used natural means to try to show how big he really is. In Genesis 13, 16, he said, "And I will give you so many descendants that that's like the dust of the earth and cannot be counted." Then he turns around and says in Genesis 15 through 3, 4, 5, and 6, then the Lord said to him, "No, your servant will not be your heir, for you will have a son of your own who will be your heir." Then the Lord took Abram outside and told him to look up into the sky and count the stars if he could. That's how many descendants you'll have. And Abram believed the Lord, and the Lord counted him as righteous because of his faith. Now I want you to notice that so that Abram, and they changed his name to Abraham at that particular time because Abraham means father of many, to understand how big God was, and so Abraham's faith could grow, God said, "All right, look at the stars. Count them if you can. That's how many of your descendants are going to be." That's large, isn't it? That's pretty big, isn't it? And then the grains of the sand of the earth, the dust, hey, how in the world? You can't count it. That's what God said. And here at that particular time, Abraham didn't realize it, but we do now through the Apostle Paul, as he has taught us, then the Gentiles became the spiritual descendants of Abraham. So his descendants are more than just the natural descendants. They're the spirit. We are the spiritual children. So that really expands. Hello. See, you know, Abraham believed God was big enough to make this happen. And God gave him these examples. That's a huge thing. These mountains and trees and see, have you ever watched at a time of storm those huge waves that are created as they begin rolling in? I know we were over in Hawaii once, years and years ago, and there was a storm brewing out in the Pacific, and we drove over on the North Shore where those big waves come in. Man, those things come crashing in there. I mean, they're huge. And man, they come crashing in there and they can do damage. And I see one person shaking their head there. Is that Christy? Yeah, that's Cliff Graham's wife. And he is a surfer. The Lord opens up doors for him because of he's a professional surfer, a professional skier. The Lord opens doors that none of us ever get into, but they've opened for him. See, that's why we all need to realize no matter where we are, what we do, God can use us. See, there's many of you sitting in this congregation right now that will be with people and see people that no preacher will ever be able to reach, but you'll be there. Come on now. That's just a side thought, okay, but it's good anyway. God is bigger than that. God's bigger than all the waves put together of all the oceans. The psalmist tries to give us a revelation of how big God is in Psalms 125, 1 and 2. "Those who trust in the Lord are secure as Mount Zion. They will not be defeated, but will endure forever. Just as the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people both now and forever." He's trying to show that, hey, mountains are big. He's comparing the ability to God to take care of us with mountains. How many of you have ever seen the Rocky Mountains out in western United States? They're the biggest mountain range in all of the continental United States. And the first time you ever see them, they're big. You know, I remember the first time I just coming out of dad picked us up at school, junior high school. I was ninth grade. My sister was an eighth grader. We just finished, and we drove to California. I'd never been. That's the first time I've ever been there. And we got to driving out across that desert, because she'd been there many times. And he said, "See those mountains over there? Man, I mean, far away they look big, but the closer you got to them, the bigger they got." And to think about it, I mean, they're just one mountain. But think about the whole mountain range. And now I've had the privilege of flying over the Alps. And man, there's a big mountains there. I mean, we're flying at 35,000 feet, and I look out the window, and that mountain it looks like it's not that far below me. Oh, man, that thing comes up here a long way. But see, mountains are big. But if God is big enough to create those big mountains, He's big enough to take care of the mountains in your life. Now, here we're not talking about a literal mountain in 23, I don't think. He's using the mountain, but it's a figure. He is saying, I don't care how big the problem is that is confronting you, the difficulty, the hardship, the situation, whatever it is, I'm bigger than that. Man, you know, we read Luke 18:27, but in Mark 10:27, it says, everything is possible with God. Not just spiritual, everything. That includes the natural. And Paul said, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. There is no qualification there for spiritual. It's all things, spiritual and natural. See, you got to believe who God is and how big He really is. And then you got to turn that big God loose in your life. You got to allow Him to work in our lives. You know. You got, sometimes I've read stories and I've seen it in school myself. You got little brother and big brother. Well, you start messing with little brother and you have to mess with big brother. If I got remember the story right, two of them are sitting over here. Skyler and Blake was in grade school together, and this kid kept bothering Skyler. Blake went up to him and told him, you better leave my little brother alone. I'm gonna clean your plow. He didn't say it that way, but that's what he meant. But you see, what we need to realize is that, hey, the devil may think he's big, but we got a bigger brother. That was a story of a little boy. They moved into a new community and they was picking on him, beating him up, and they kept beating on him, and he hollered, "Goody, goody, goody." And they thought he was crazy. Pretty soon, Goody showed up and knocked the fire out of all of them. When he was all said and done, he turned and said, "I want you to meet my big brother, Goody." Hey, we need to tell the devil, "Won't you meet our big brother, God? Our Father God, our brother Jesus." Believe in your heart. Speak with your mouth. You turn God loose by speaking. You turn Him loose by speaking. Believe it and say it. And keep saying it. And keep saying it. And keep saying it. You say it. Not what the pastor says. Not what your spouse says. They can agree with you, but you got to say it. It's you. In that scripture, Mark 11:23, the understood subject is you. Not your neighbor, not your relative, not somebody else, you. You know, if you say, "This is too much for me to deal with," you lock God's hands. But if you say, this may be too much for me, but it's not too much from God, open the door and say, come on in. As you face your challenges and your difficulties, I want you to learn that your God, no God as big as yours, no problem that you can find. See, don't be afraid of life. So many people are afraid of life. They go around half scared all the time. Afraid this is going to happen. Afraid that's going to happen. Don't be afraid of life. There are going to be difficulties. There are going to be problems. Jesus said so there in John. He said, in this life you will have trials and tribulations, but I have overcome them all. That he's talking about your big God. So don't be afraid. Use your faith and speak the word. Of course there's mountains of sickness. Of course there's mountains of financial problems. Of course there's mountains that want to bind you down. Of course there's mountains of impossibilities. But you got to go back and remember who God is. There's nothing impossible with God. So begin to flow with him. Begin to let him increase in your life. The more he increases, the less the problem looks big. The bigger God looks, the smaller the problem. The bigger the problem looks to you, the smaller God looks to you. So let's change it around, all right? See, as you speak the word of God, the mighty power of God will be released to do the impossible in your life. So dare to lift your voice and declare that you'll follow God into everything. And realizing he'll make a way for you. Have I not said in my word that if you would follow me, I would cause you not to dash your foot against a stone? Have I not said in my word I would take care of you? Do not make me small, but let me be big in your life. And as I become bigger and bigger and bigger in your life, your problems will become smaller and smaller, and your victories will become greater and greater. And you can truly say, I have a big God. Hallelujah to Jesus. Glory to God. I started out with some exhortation that I had gotten, but then I ended up with what the Holy Spirit wanted to say. Okay? Praise the Lord. Anybody get anything out of this morning? Hallelujah. Let's stand up and give the Lord a praise right now. There is no God as big as our God. Thank you, Lord, that every problem that we have is under control right now in the name of Jesus. I thank you for it. I thank you for it. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.